Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dagheward Mills. Dagheward Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International denomination with over 3,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and an author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 500 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dagheward Mills. That draws us to you.
Lift your hands. Father, thank you for the blessing.
Yes, Lord.
We have today. What a great opportunity you give to us. We are thankful for your power that is working in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? James chapter 1. We are going to pray for a few minutes. And I believe God is blessing us already. Amen. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Amen. Now, I believe that wisdom is very important. Do you think it is important? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And verse 3. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Do you understand? You don't understand? It means what it says. That when a fool is walking by, his wisdom fails him. And he says to everyone that he's a fool. What is wisdom? Let's get the definition of wisdom, please. I need you to help me with the definition of wisdom. Beautiful definition of wisdom. To be wise means to be able to apply. This is the definition I'm looking for. Is to apply the relevant knowledge in an insightful way, especially to different situations from that in which the knowledge was gained. All right? I want to explain it again. It says the ability to apply relevant knowledge. So for instance, you go to tech and you study planning. Okay? Planning. Are you there?
Yes.
Is it not a course in KNUST? Planning. And what else do they learn there? No, the ones that involve the whole arrangement of the country. Land economy. What is that one too? What do you... So planning, especially. Planning. So a place is planned. This is for this. This is for that. This is for that. And then what about roads? Civil engineering. We have a lot of civil engineering students and graduates in the world, in Ghana. What about the economics? Do we study economics in Ghana? For how many years have we studied economics? No, the school is for 4 years. But how many years has economics been taught in Ghana? 100 years. Okay. So the ability to apply relevant knowledge. These are all relevant subjects. Okay? In an insightful way, especially to different situations from that in which the knowledge was gained. So you may go and do masters in planning in Birmingham, all right? Or study economics in Harvard. Then when you land at Kotoka Airport, you have to apply it in a different situation from where you gained the knowledge. Are you with me? That is the definition of wisdom. How to apply knowledge that you've gained from somewhere. Maybe a conference, a school, a country, an experience. All right? And then you have to come and apply it in practical, real way, in a different situation. Or you go to marriage school and you have marriage counseling on all the things that are important to do. Is that not so? Then you land by helicopter in a marriage. Now you have to apply all the things you've learned and you know from experience and from what you've been taught. And that is where the difference begins in life. And like Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 3 says, when he that is a fool, I think the words are a bit strong for us. So maybe why don't we say, when he that lacks wisdom is walking by the way. Okay, but it's like he has a type of wisdom, which is foolishness. His wisdom fails him. So it's like driving a car which fails you on the way. And you have to get out of the car. You get it? Now it says that he says to everyone that he is a fool. In other words, your wisdom speaks, the wisdom or your ability to apply things in life, right, tells people that you've not been able to apply what you learned. Basically, that's what it's telling people. I've not been able to apply it properly. I'm struggling. I'm not being able to apply what I learned and what I learned about in my life. Is that not so? So that's why we have the verse before, James 1, verse 5. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So what is this one? It's saying, if anyone lacks the ability to apply the plenty knowledge that we have learned and acquired from school, from life, from lectures, from church, let him pray for the ability to apply the things he knows and the things that he has learned in an insightful way and in a different situation from the one that he learned it in. Because, you see, when you come to church, you are coming to learn some wonderful things here. But when you go out, you are going to meet real people. And you know, in terms of badness, the next group of bad things after devils, we come to human beings in terms of badness. Or you don't know that human beings are really bad. I mean, we only come second to devils in evil. Or you don't know that? Yes. Maybe you are new in the world, but if you've been around for some time, you'll see that in terms of evil and badness and wickedness, we are only second in ranking. We are carrying the silver medal. do you think there's so much trouble in the world? So God, in his wisdom, is asking us, teaching us to ask for wisdom. Not really knowledge. Not really knowledge. That's why you can have somebody who went only to secondary school. And he can come and do more than somebody who went to the university. Yes. We've had presidents in Ghana who didn't go to university. Do you know any? Some of our presidents didn't go to university. Which of them do you know that didn't go to university? John Rawlings, isn't it? Yeah. Papa J, is that what it's called now? Okay. Yeah. He seems to have done a lot more than others. Yes. Yeah. Practically. And even lasted longer than some others. And maybe the small knowledge that he had was able to apply some. Even how to stay in power without being overthrown is in the Bible. A king who cannot be removed from power is also something to be able to achieve. Huh? It's an achievement. It's in the Bible. A king who is not against whom there is no uprising. Yes. You know, it's a powerful thing. So I believe that wisdom, with your small wisdom, because some people have better marriages without marriage counseling. They don't have any marriage counseling, and their marriages are working. At least it's working better than some who have gone to professorial marriage schools and they had a lot of counseling and read books. Hey! Yes. So God is going to give us wisdom today, and I want us to pray for wisdom. Let's stand to our feet. How many want God to give you the grace to apply some of the things? Lift your hands. Father, thank you for the grace that you give us for wisdom, Lord. Give us wisdom.
Yes.
You said in your word, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask.
Yes, Lord.
Let him ask. Let him ask. Payama shatala mama kabaranda la mamande. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Mana katala mande de baba. Oh ramanda le baba de le mashanta la makabaranda le baba. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for wisdom, Lord. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for wisdom. Let wisdom come to us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us the grace, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord. Ability to apply.
Yes.
Ability to apply.
Yes.
Ability to apply.
Kosia Kalamaka
Baranola Mashandele Bekemara
Katola Mamune.
Ho Ramama Marandali Baba. Mendolo Mokabaranali Mamandele Bebe. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the grace. The grace. Abarama She Manasa Dolo Mokabarama.
Shembre
Mondolini Menebe Kuromandele Bebe.
Manki
La Rama Dalama Debele Debele Debele. Oh, bata tata mama no shendele beke mendele
beke. Ramina minama, mara mikota.
Oh, ramama ndele bene bene.
Yes, Lord, your wisdom.
Hey, Lord, about that bene bene bene.
Repeteli limona, mensinka chelema.
Ramina
misalike.
Thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom.
Yes.
Thank you for your wisdom that you give to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are still praying. We are just having a short prayer time. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So one of the proofs that you have found wisdom is happiness. You are going to be happy. I said you are going to be happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Not depressed is the man that findeth wisdom. Not sad is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You know, I feel in my heart that almost everybody here has received enough knowledge for the rest that you need for the rest of your life already. What we haven't got is how to apply it practically, in an insightful way, in a different situation, which is outside the church. In Nigeria, yes. In Ghana. It's true. Somebody said you can't do business without doing bad things. I don't agree. You haven't learned how to apply what you learned in church. That is why we have so many churches and so many people going to church and hearing the word of God, but how to apply it? You understand? How to apply it is the thing. So when you go out there, it's like, oh, we have to be bad. There's no way to succeed without that. It's just like debt. People feel you can never do well without borrowing money. I don't agree. And the Bible says that when a fool is walking by the roadside, his wisdom fails him. And not only does it fail him, but it announces to everybody that he's a fool. I think it's too strong for you. So maybe that he lacks wisdom. Maybe that can help better. Now, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. And the gain, Proverbs 3 verse 14. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. So, which means the profit from wisdom is more than the profit you get from silver or gold. So if you can be able to apply a few things that you've learned the benefit will be more than giving you money. And I don't mean knowledge. If you can apply a few of the things you've learned, the benefit will be more than being given, here's a handout, here's some dollar, here's some euros, here's some gold. The benefit. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. That's what we are praying for. Verse 15, beautiful. She is more precious than rubies. So we are praying for something that is more precious than rubies. And all that is the greatest asset of a person in his life is his wisdom, or his application of the knowledge that he has acquired. The small applications you can make. Sometimes when I want to share something with people, I realize that what the difference is, what they don't have is what to do. And they don't believe that if you apply this, it's something will change. That's basically the big difference. If I look at, let's say, the way the government, the last 61 years, the government works and the way they go about things, it announces poverty. It enforces poverty on the whole nation. You get it? But the main thing is that people don't believe that you can do things in a different way. That's all. But not that there's a lack of money. That let's do it this way. That's the big thing. That is all. So, all the things that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her, is what the Bible says. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. She's more precious. It's everything. Oh, if I get a good man to marry, I will be a man with money. Money? If I can only put some wisdom into your coconut, I can show you how to be happy. But you may not apply it. So I know a lot of marriage counselors who are tired of counseling because they feel the people who don't apply the things that they are telling them. When they tell you, smile when you come home, you've made your face. You smile to the whole world and make your face when you come home. In Liberia, they say you tie your face. And I think it's a good one, tie your face. A lot of girls who smile in church, their face at home, you can't even believe it. And then the hair, if you can see them in the real hair, you'll be amazed. You think you are seeing a footballer. It's amazing. All the things that thou canst desire can never be compared to her wisdom. Yeah. When I look at people and sometimes I want to share with them something, I see that what they don't believe is what you are saying. And they won't do it. They don't know. Yeah. How many believe that I can build a road from Accra to Kumasi in 4 years? I can do it by the grace of God. Even the church, if we take ourselves, that we will build a road. Yes. Without a loan from anybody. Yes. Yeah. Now we are charging tolls at Anakazo Gate. And you see people coming there with a car. You know, some of the cars we have in Ghana, you know how much a car is? A Nissan Patrol costs about $70,000 or $80,000. Land Cruiser. You see people come, so $80,000 times 5 is what? 400,000 cedis. Yes, multiply by 5. Roughly. You get, don't argue. When I'm preaching, don't argue. with the preaching. Ask your neighbor, are you the one arguing? You know, somebody wants to argue. I'm just making a point. Now, the car is costing 400,000 cedis that you are driving like this with air conditioner and the fuel. And when you get to the gate and they ask you for 10 cedis, they are the ones who make a big hat. We'll take you to Peace FM. What can you do this? We'll take you to Oman FM. Why are you charging this and that? And we tell them, park outside, please. Inside walking is free. They are the ones who don't want to pay. Charge the toll. Even in Zimbabwe, they are charging $1. Nobody pays less than $1, which is 5 cedis. But everywhere. Everywhere. In America, you drive, pay. Every small, there's a toll. Apply it. You see, and all the people who rule the country have been abroad for years, have paid tolls for years. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm speaking Greek. You see, I'm speaking in Chi. I'm speaking Ghana. You don't understand it. And I'm saying that to apply it, that is all. It's not to know it. It's not to know it. It's to apply it. As for knowing, you know more than enough. Yes. And when you travel, you learn a lot. If you've seen somebody who's traveled before but hasn't been much to school, he's also educated. That's why I take my bishops and pastors up. I always travel with a lot of people. I rarely travel with less than 10 people anywhere. Rarely. Rarely. I'm really less than 10 anywhere. So, to apply it, that's it. Just park here. And then they, in the end, they pay. And then they walk in. They drive in. They drive on concrete and park. No red sand. There's no red sand in that place. Anywhere. Outside. Amazing. So you see, human beings, I tell you, next to devils, then the next group. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. Most of us would have been dead without malaria medicine. So the wisdom, how to apply. We are opening our Christian Madame Tussauds this week. You see the man who survived. If you ever go through that, you see the man who survived, the Swiss man who survived. His name was Andreas Ries. He established the mission in Ghana, Christian mission. You see them standing there. You can even take a picture with him. Yeah. And what he did was that the herbalist who had been drinking the leaves advised him, because he came with two other people, a doctor and another person. The doctor died first. And the other person also died. And he was the last one. And he applied the medicine from the local herbalist. And he survived the malaria. And he's the one who established the mission, Christian mission in Ghana. Yeah. It's beautiful. So applying the knowledge, you see, in a different setting, it saved his life. Other than just knowing things which you don't apply. Yeah. Your marriage will jump higher when you just apply one thing that you have been told. Small things. It's true. I tell the girls, and I always preach to the girls, because in our Christian marriage, the girls who are some way. Yeah. You are beastly. You know yourselves. Yes. You are beastly. I'll repeat it. Yes. I'm not afraid of any girl in the church. And if you want to hear something else, you can go to another church. Yeah. That's why the girls like me, because they know that I tell them the truth. Not just praises. Praises. Only praises. Telling you that you are looking nice. Yeah, pampering. saying, giving you nice surprises. No, no. Here you come and you get some small blows. One or two slaps, it will wake you up. Kabashakayana. I told the girl, I said, smart, say yes and sorry. And your marriage will become magic. Apply it. When the thing comes, say yes. Sorry. Somebody shouldn't call you strong-willed. Strong-willed. Hard. Those words shouldn't be applied to you on this in this life. Hard. She's hard. Hard. You are unyielding. Nobody can advise you. Hey. You've made the food. There's no salt. And we just made the comment that there's no salt. Now we are going to hell. We shouldn't say anything about anything anymore. We will say. I said we will say. So look at it. It's my scripture. Who is the one there? Be active, please. Length of days. Malaria. We are all here because of application. Yeah. And in her left hand, riches and honor. So it means that when you apply things, you start getting richer. But people can't apply. Unless the Bible is not true. Length of days in their right hand, riches and honor. People have applied. And you know, when I teach you, I say, belt. Proverbs 24 verse 3. Look at it quickly. 24 verse 3. Through wisdom is a house builded. Do you know that this man, the Reese man I'm talking about, the missionary, his nickname was Oseadan. That was his nickname when he came, because he was building houses. He was building church buildings and buildings. That was his nickname, Oseadan. That was the nickname that they gave him. You see, and wherever you see certain type of people, they build. Other type of people, they rent. Are you understanding what we are praying for? So, back to my verse, Proverbs 3, please. Don't confuse us. Length of days, riches and honor in her left hand. You are going to be rich in Jesus' name. Verse 17, beautiful. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. I think let's stand up and pray for the first one before we go to these ones. We are asking for the spirit of wisdom. Lift your hand and ask God for the spirit of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Father, we thank you. Thank you for happiness that is coming into our lives in a new way. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Come on. Lomola, Chelebi, Tarama, Tobole, Tebere. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Kamala, Mashandolo Mokabara. Oh, we call on you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom, Lord, application of knowledge, application of truth, Lord. Application of the little things you've told us, Lord. Give us the grace to implement. Give us the grace to do. Oh God, things you have shown us. Your wisdom, Lord. Your word, Lord. Your word, your word, your word, your word. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing great things in our lives. Touching our lives with your power. Touching your life with your power of your wisdom, Lord. The power of your wisdom, Lord. The power of your wisdom.
Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of grace. Spirit of power. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of wisdom. By wisdom, Lord. By wisdom, Lord. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. Thank you, Lord. We are receiving wisdom. We are receiving your wisdom to be happy in this life. Happy is the man. Thank you. That findeth wisdom. Thank you for giving us wisdom. The man that getteth understanding. Thank you for giving us understanding. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for blessing us with wisdom. Lift your hands. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Thank you for wisdom, Lord. Showing us, Lord, how to apply, how to implement, how to do the things you are showing us. Thank you for grace, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your power that is flowing in our lives, in our life. Matamara. Thank you for wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Her price is better than rubies. Amalashandala, all her ways are ways of pleasantness and peace. Thank you for pleasantness and peace that you are giving to us, Lord. Length of days, length of days, length of days, length of days, length of days. And honor, length of days. Thank you for length of days. Thank you for grace and mercy. Mala ma kabaranda le mema, mendele ba kamadola ma baranda le baba. Yelo rama ma velele ba baranda le baba. Oh rama ma ma baranda la bore ma le mebe. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Mala kamaranda le mema, baranda le mebe. Le mebe kala ba le mema. Wisdom. You said if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, Lord. We lack wisdom, Lord. So we are asking for wisdom. We are praying for wisdom. We are praying for the Spirit of wisdom to apply your revelation, your word, your truth, Lord. To apply it, Lord. Mandele makabalandele. Malede makabalandele. Mare manandele makabalandele.
Chapter 1. You remember the story of Daniel and his friends whom were given some food to eat. And they were Jews. You know, Jews don't eat a lot of things. And he said, leave us to eat the type of food that we eat and see whether we'll be okay. So in verse 12, he says, and prove thy servants 10 days. Test us for 10 days and let us see whether we are okay. And let our countenances be looked upon before thee. Verse 13. And the countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest. So look at our faces and look at the other faces. So verse 14, he consented, all right, to them in this matter and proved them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh. You will be nicer and fatter than others in Jesus' name. Not overweight, but you will not be bony by the grace of God. All forms of boniness are going out of you in Jesus' name. Fairer and fatter. More beautiful. By the power of God. Hey! Verse 16. So Melza, who was their supervisor, took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse, which was, I think, some kind of porridge. Or cocoa, or Hausa cocoa. I don't know what it was. All right. Verse 17. And as for these four children. As for these four children. God. God gave them. You see, God can give you. God gave them knowledge. And skill. In all learning. And wisdom. God gave them. God gives people wisdom. And God makes people able to implement and apply knowledge. You see, it didn't come to them from school, but God gave them. That's why we are praying about it. Because you don't get wisdom in school. You get knowledge in school. But God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning. Yes, and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So today God is, I see something like a helicopter bringing wisdom onto your life. Knowledge and skill in whatever area. If it's negotiations, if it is ministry, if it is business, God is giving you skill. God is giving you wisdom and understanding. Verse 18. Kama shantala baba. Now at the end of the days that the king had said they should bring them in, he brought the prince of the eunuchs came and brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar had a chance to interview them. You'll be going for good interviews. Verse 19. And the king communed with them. The king was talking to them to see how they thought. And among them all, he found none. You will be selected many times. He found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They will not find anybody like you in that interview in the name of Jesus. Verse 20. Beautiful. Now watch this. This is the nice verse in the whole chapter. And in all matters of wisdom. All. I said, did you hear when I said all? And these are the people that God gave them. In all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Very soon you will be declared 10 times better than all alternatives to you. All matters of wisdom. 10 times better. Congratulate your neighbor and say, I didn't know you were 10 times better than those people. Not better than you, but better than them. Some other people who... Kama shatala baba. 10 times better. 10 times. Your ministry will be 10 times better. Your church will be 10 times better. Your business will be 10 times better. Your understanding will be 10 times better. God is doing it. And who gave them this understanding? God gave them. Verse 17. God gave them. Ask for these four children. 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 God gave them knowledge. God gave it to them. Knowledge. You know, I can almost hear the words. Somebody will be talking about you soon and say, ask for this. This man. Ask for this girl. Ask for these two. Ask for these three. Prophesy. Ask for these four. Ask for these. That will be your story from now in the name of Jesus. Ask for these four children. You see, these are historical facts. Things that happened. Yeah. You know, I believe that God has given the Jews wisdom. That is why they have more inventions. More inventions than anybody else. It's a small community. 10 million people, 12 million people, I don't know how many now, compared with the rest of the world. They are the ones who have invented many of the things we are using today. They invented the Mercedes Benz. Yeah. And so many things that we enjoy, medical things. And you ask yourself that, and if you compare with the next group, their neighbors, there are very few inventions, discoveries, Nobel Prize winners. Very few. If it's 100 Israelis, it will be one of the others. So you ask yourself that, why? When it comes to business, when it comes to, Einstein, the Jew, Zuckerberg, the banks, the hospitals, the inventions for many diseases, many things. So you ask yourself, how does this group have all this? And that's what he says, that, and God gave them. God gave them. Underline the words, God gave them. God gave them. God makes people wise. And I believe, I feel this morning's prayer is that God is giving you that implementation. He's not giving you classes. He's not giving you classes like schooling. He's giving you the implementation of some of the things that you already know. God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning and wisdom. Lift your hands. Father, we are asking you, give us this wisdom, this grace, this wisdom, Lord. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for blessing us with wisdom, Lord. Giving us wisdom. You can give wisdom. You can give wisdom. You can show me how to navigate. How to move. How to maneuver. Thank you for wisdom you are giving us, Lord. We believe in your wisdom, Lord. We believe you can give wisdom, and that you are pouring your wisdom on us today. We thank you for your wisdom, Lord. We thank you for your power. We thank you that you can lay upon us, Lord, great wisdom. Make us wise, Lord. Make us full of your wisdom and knowledge. Just as you have blessed certain people, these four children, Lord, you made them wise. You made them to understand. You made them to know things, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, O God, for doing great things in our lives.
Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Malama shata malanda ni komolone. Komola balaba. Mandele makabala dolo makabala balera. Leimola banda ni komola la banda ni baba. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for grace. Thank you for wisdom. How to implement. How to do things. How to implement it. Manama, Shagele Mara, Romane, Le Makata, Somala Makatele, Ramada, Kabola, Manana, Mamane, Le Babada, Maromana, Babane, Le Babende, Robo Kabala, Kola, Beta, Lata, Monte, Le Karama, Le Molera, Rosa, Talamante, Le Maka. Oh yes, oh yes.
Proverbs 3:17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Let's pray for your pleasant experiences and peaceful life. Thank you for pleasantness, Lord. Thank you for pleasantness and peace, Lord. Thank you for pleasantness and peace. Thank you for pleasantness. Take away all the unpleasant and unfortunate, sad days of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Fill us, O Lord, with the pleasantness and the peace that comes from having your wisdom, Lord. Grant us the pleasantness. All her ways are pleasantness. Her paths are peace. Marando shakabalade. Dele mara santo amandele bakabalade. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How beautiful are your ways, Lord. How beautiful are your ways. Maloma kabarina la mamane. Meloda la 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 la. Thank you, Lord, for your pleasantness. We give you thanks. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Just thank the Lord.
We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. You are wonderful. You are
Us, Lord, to be able to implement your word and the revelations you've given to us. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Me. Give me brand new heart, only you, the surrender my life just for you, the only one who won my heart today. Let me tell you now all that's on my mind. No one ever chose me, no one likes me much, oh no. Yet you liked me, Lord. Yet you chose me, Lord. And so with my life, I'll serve you now. That is how I will say thanks. Oh, 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 you turn me inside out. You save me. Give me brand new heart. Only you, the only one who won my heart today.
Worth living for you, Lord. I love you, and there. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom. Decree justice, and by wisdom a house is built. By wisdom you shall deliver the city from an impossible situation. A wise man will hear and increase learning. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom. My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them
together for Jesus. Do it better for the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, do it better. Do it better for Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. How many of you remember something God did for you this week, or this month, or this year? If you are here and God has done something for you, I want you to give the Lord a shout of praise. As you shout, you are receiving another testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first testimony is coming from Efiba. She works with the Understanding Campaign. Put your hands together for her as she comes up to testify of what God did for her this week. Oh, do it better. Efiba, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for giving me a five-year USA visa through the prophecies of our prophet, Bishop Dagi Odvils.
Wow, tell us about
I'll tell you about it. So last month, I remember 2 weeks before the interview, a guy came up and gave a testimony about his brother getting a visa because he received one of Bishop's prophecies. And then Pastor Paul was like, what are we doing sitting down? The guy was jumping when Bishop gave the prophecy. I was like, what are we sitting down doing? Then I rose up over there and I was jumping all over the place. A week after, Bishop was here and led us to pray for favor. He asked us to pray for favor and then he prophesied in our lives that we'll be favored. And then finally the interview date came. I went. When I got there, I gave my documents, whatever, and then I went to sit under the canopy waiting patiently for my turn. So I got there and then I went to the counselor. The first question he asked me was, okay, bring your passport. He took the passport and then he looked inside and was like, okay, Yale University. I really, really love Yale University. Okay, I went to Yale University for a short program. So we're discussing what it was about, behavioral economics, manipulating people, negotiations.
So in other words, you started chatting with the counselor.
So it was like a whole chat. And then we were talking about McDonald's and Coca-Cola and how they are. I mean, we're having a nice chat.
Shout out to you. Your interview will be nice this week. Shout out, man, if you believe it.
And then he was like, okay, I'm sorry. When he said I'm sorry, I was like, okay, why? After all this nice interview, you're not going to give it to me. And then he said, oh no, I just want to ask you a few questions related to the interview. So, number one, are you married? I was like, no. Do you have children? Okay, no. And he was like, okay, fine. So I picked this up. I was going to pick a letter. I was like, okay, I haven't even told you the dates or what I'm going to do there. Don't you want to know all of that? And he was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Don't worry. You have it in Jesus. So he gave it to me. And then I walked out smiling and everything. And then finally, I went for the passport. And then I looked inside and it was a five-year visa.
Hey, give the Lord a shout of praise. No country will be close to you. You'll be there in Jesus' name. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Our next testimony is coming from Malfoy Think Crime. She's a dancing star. Tell us, Martha, what has God done for you?
I'd like to give glory to God for giving me a scholarship for my master's. Before the whole scholarship, I applied to Legon for master's, but I wasn't accepted, so I decided to apply for a job so that I'll continue after my service. And some weeks in May, my Chinese lecturer put on a page that there's a scholarship opening in China. So I was like, oh, China. I wasn't really convinced. I was like, no, I'm not eligible. And so I was later they convinced me to apply. So I applied. And what would made you eligible was your published works.
You had to publish some works?
Yes.
To be eligible for that scholarship?
Yes. If you have articles, you have much leadership exposure. So I didn't have anything like that. I just finished my first degree, only my project work. So I just applied. I didn't really have any vim in it. So some weeks later, after the application, then I received the first email that I had passed through the first stage. And Pastor Paul, the certificates I presented were just from church.
You presented church certificates?
Yes, I didn't have any academic certificate apart from my degree and Art of Leadership Conference.
Hey.
LI, like just that.
LI, Leadership International.
Yes, please. And I remember a friend telling me that, oh, these white people, they don't like church things. So, like, just present what have you done? I said, I've not done anything academically. Just church. Then he was like, okay.
So you passed the first stage?
Yes. Then the second, so I was just there. Then they were like, interview. And that was my first ever, like a first interview ever in my life. So I was scared. Then I remember before coming for the interview in Accra, I was going to listen to how to overcome devils. Okay. Or how to fight devils.
On the podcast.
On the podcast. So when I was listening to it, like I didn't even go further. Then it changed to Father's Day message. That he was praying for favor. The prophet was praying for favor, yes. And he was like, receive favor. And I grasped, like, I believed it.
Mm.
Yes, I believed it strongly. I was like, hey, this message is time, please. Like, he knows I'm going for the interview.
Wow.
So, and the interview was like that morning, the next morning. So when I got to the interview, it was online. So I was afraid, I was panicking. So it didn't really go so well like that.
It didn't go well?
No.
Why didn't it go well?
They asked some technical questions I didn't really know. And I didn't understand them. So me, I just gave them what I had. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And God being so good, some weeks later, they sent me another message that they want me to come to their school, full scholarship. Full scholarship. They are going to take care of accommodation, feeding, allow extra allowances for living. And, Pastor,
maybe you've not seen a miracle before, but this is what a miracle looks like. I don't know why you're so simple now. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Marco, how many people applied for this scholarship? How
Pastor
many people?
Paul, I heard over 500 people all around the world.
And you applied without any published works?
At all.
You applied with
just my Art of Leadership certificate. And I was the vice president in Lighthouse Senior High School. That's what I had. And I was a dining operator. I don't even know what it would do for me.
What you have will be enough to get in Jesus' name. Testimony is coming from Rodney Antonio. He's a student in the Anakazo Bible and Ministry Training Center. He's training to become a pastor. Put your hands together for him. Rodney, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to give glory to God for a great change in my life.
A great change in your life?
Yes. That's the first one. And the second one is for calling me to become a pastor.
Wow.
So the great change in my life, it's for 8 years. I was a DJ and I was a club manager.
You were a DJ and a club manager.
And through that life...
What did you do as a DJ and a club manager?
I'm from Zimbabwe.
From Zimbabwe?
Yes.
And
so I used to play in parties and in clubs. Like, they'll hire me and I'll get paid and I'll entertain the people.
Wow.
So through that, I get involved in drugs, alcohol and fornication.
And three things.
These three things.
Drugs,
alcohol, and fornication.
You will never get involved with these three things in Jesus' name.
So in 2011, I relocated from Zimbabwe to South Africa.
You moved from Zimbabwe to South Africa
for greener pastures, searching for more money.
More money.
Yes. So once I was in South Africa, I became a club manager there in South Africa, where I would take care of, I would look after the club and the alcohol, the stock, everything. So there in South Africa...
You'll be drinking some.
I was drinking even worse because in South Africa I was by myself. My family was not there and nobody was looking after me and nobody could tell me what to do. So I had the whole life on my own. So there the drinking became so serious that I became an alcoholic, where at the point that I wake up in the morning and my hand will be shaking, that I will need to take alcohol for me to be stable.
When you wake up in
when
the morning.
When I wake up in the morning.
Your hands will be shaking.
My hands will be shaking.
And you need alcohol.
I need alcohol too.
You will have your quiet time to be stable. You will not drink alcohol to stabilize your morning. Eish.
So the fornication became worse because...
Everything became worse.
Then 2014, I decided to go back home.
You decided to go back to Zimbabwe.
Because that was my conviction, that the only way out of this kind of situation that I was in. So before I went home, I spoke with my brother, who's a pastor currently in Australia.
What's your brother's name?
Pastor Andrew Antonio.
Wow.
So he told me that when you go home, go to church, go to Lighthouse. Then I knew Lighthouse by then, but I wasn't that serious. And I was born again, but I was doing all these foolish things.
You were born again?
I was born again, but yet I was doing all these foolish things. So I went back home and I started going to church. And whilst I was going to church, I was still living my dual life. I had rasta, I had dreadlocks, smoking, drinking, fornication whilst I was in church.
Is that you?
Yes, that was me.
Serious.
So gradually, as I was going to church, as the word of God was being preached, everything started coming, peeling off my life, small, 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 small. until 2015, when Apostle Kingsley came to Zimbabwe, he came to have a camp meeting with us and a convention. Then at the camp meeting, he looked at me and he told me that you, one day you will become a bishop for me in Zimbabwe. Then I knew in my heart that he was telling me that I want you to become a pastor. But with this past life that I was dragging, it disqualifies me to become a pastor. So
you felt it disqualified.
I felt like I'm not worth for me to become a pastor. So then he told me I must cut off my hair. I obeyed all his instructions. He told me to apply to the Bible school. I applied to the Bible school. And that same year, 2015, I came to Ghana. And I'm currently in the Anakazo Bible School to become a pastor.
Wow. So, and you believe you are called?
I believe I am called.
Despite of your past?
Despite of my past.
Despite of your drinking and
it's
your
my past. It's
somebody
my
give
past.
The Lord a shout of praise. If he is called, I believe you can be called too. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. As we welcome Nicholas Kona for our final testimony. Oh, do it better for him. He's also from the Anakazo Bible and Ministry Training Center. Nicholas, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God, number one, for saving me.
Okay.
And number two, for calling me.
All right.
When I came to join UD in 2011, I was a raw unbeliever.
In which country?
In South Africa.
In South Africa?
Yes.
Which town?
I was in Johannesburg.
Johannesburg.
Yes, there's a small township called Orange Farm.
Called Orange Farm?
Orange Farm in the south of Johannesburg. I was involved in smoking weed. I was involved in fornication and drinking. The weed that we used to smoke, we take a drug and then we crush it. And we'll put it in the weed and then we smoke it. And then I used to...
The weed was not enough.
It was not enough.
You used to add something to the weed.
Add something to it.
Okay.
Yes. And then... I had a sexual encounter when I was about 6 years. And then the sex became so serious when I was in secondary school and in the university. We used to go to a bash party. And then we had something we called same time service. Whereby you go to a party, you meet a girl, propose to her, get an answer that day, and then get to sleep with her that day.
All in one day?
All in one day. Same time service.
It's called what?
Same time service.
Same time service.
Yes.
Wow.
The sex was so...
Please explain it again. You say you go to a...
You go to a bash party.
Okay.
You meet a girl for the very first time.
For the very first time.
You propose to her.
You propose to her.
Get an answer that same time.
Get an answer.
And then get to sleep with her that same day.
Anakazo.
Yeah.
And then... Are you tired of Anakazo? You will meet somebody on the street. You will lead a person to Christ. You will get an answer that same day. You will put a person on the bus. And you will bring the person to church. Give the Lord a shout of praise. If he could do it in the world, we can do it in church. Yes. What do you think?
Yes. And then Pastor Paul, I met also, it became worse because I even met this lady, which was a Sangoma. Sangoma in Ghana is a fetish priest. And I slept with her. It was very bad. And I really thank God. When I was at the university, that's when I got born again. I was introduced to Alos, which is First Love now. That's when I met this lady. I was going to this lady to propose to her. I mean, a beautiful lady. I went to her and I was trying to propose. Then she invited me to church. Her name is Amelia. And when invited, in my mind, I was like, okay, I'll come to church because of you. And then I went to church. When I went to church, one thing.
So you were on the same time project?
Yes, I was on the same time project.
Went with her to church?
Yes, I went to church on that Sunday. It was during the week when he met me. I went to church that Sunday. When I went, I was disturbed. Because now she had a ring.
She had a ring on?
Yes, she had a ring. And then I was really disturbed. Because that's the reason why I was going to church. Do you get it? And then I was offended. Then the second thing was that the way the pastor was taking the offering, I was not happy. So I stopped the church. I stopped the church. And then what happened is that there was a shepherd, a sister called Lebo. This sister used to come to my place, follow up on me.
In the university?
In the university.
Which university
campus.
Was this?
It was TUT, Tshwane University of Technology in Pretoria.
Wow.
She came to me, she follow up on me and tell me I have to come to church. I used to study in the night, Saturday night, then Sunday morning, I'm just there relaxing. And then she used to say, come to church, you have to come back to church. I didn't mind her. And then one day she said something that struck me. She told me, because I told her the excuse that, okay, I can't come to church because I study all night. So Sunday, I can't make
you
it.
You study all night on
yes,
Saturday.
Yes, on Saturday.
So Sunday, you are resting.
I can't make it.
And this was the excuse you gave her.
Yes, that's the excuse I gave her. And then she said something that struck me. she told me that I'm not the only student on campus. And then she said that, and if we go into the matter, we can even find out that she is doing better than me. That thing struck me. Because I was not even, I was an average student.
She was a student too.
She was a student
too. She told you that you are not the only student.
I'm not the only student. And even if you go to the matter, maybe she's even doing better than me. That thing struck me, and then I decided to go back to church.
Because you weren't doing so well.
I mean, I was average.
And what happened? You followed her to church?
Yes, I followed her to church. And then the pastor, Pastor Kenny, was preaching. He preached about lay people and the ministry.
He was preaching about lay people and the ministry.
Lay people and the ministry, that you can serve God, you can be a student and serve God, you can be a businessman and serve God. And that thing really touched me. In fact, I could reproduce the message. I understood the message. And then after the service, he made altar call. I gave my life to Christ. And then as I kept coming to church, I saw that I was changing. Even that thought, that mind, that bad mind that I have, because I was very some way of pastors and offering. Now I got understanding that if the pastor uses the money the way he wants to use it, it's not my issue. It's not my concern. So me, I just have to concentrate in God, pay my offerings and my tithes.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we went to a camp with Bishop Jake. Bishop Jake entitled the camp, "You can be the next missionary."
Yes.
And he made us watch Prophet Makane Kemp. Why are you not a missionary? As the prophet was preaching, and then I was changing inside, and then I suddenly wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to serve God. I said, no, I can serve God. I just want to be a missionary somewhere in a remote place and just die for Jesus there. And then as I'm talking to you now, I'm in the Bible school, and I'm a Bacenta leader. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 has become my scripture.
It's your scripture.
Who has saved us, okay, and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace.
Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thank you so much.
Who has saved us and called us? God will save you today, and he's calling you today. If they can change, you can change too. The Bible says we are all changed as we look into the perfect law of liberty. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Hallelujah. Touch 5 people and say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Something wonderful is about to happen. The word of God is coming to us this afternoon. And the Bible says he sent his word and healed every disease. I don't know which question you came here with, but I promise you, the word of God has all the answers for you. And once again, it's my privilege to bring to you my father, the prophet, Bishop Dagmar.
I expect,
and if you expect a miracle, if you expect a word, if you expect a touch from God,
nothing is
give the Lord a shout.
To also believe and say, I believe God's word is still the same.
I expect a miracle.
Your hands lifted up. I expect a miracle this morning. Today, you sent your word and healed us. We receive healing. Thank you for many healings that are taking place today. As we stand before your presence, no one shall go out of this place the same. Thank you. Thank you. Just lay your hands on your stomach. Father, thank you for healing for everyone here. Thank you for your mighty touch, your power that is healing us. We depend on you, Lord. We trust you. We believe you are the healing Jesus. You are touching our lives. You are healing us, Lord. You are blessing everyone here today. Thank you for your mighty power that is at work in your presence today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be more blessed than you. Wow. Today I want to share with you about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. These are the words of Jesus. God is going to bless you with this Good Samaritan blessing. Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, you'll be in Israel one of these days soon. Please look at the words, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is a very well-known journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is up and Jericho is down. So you go down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So some of the Psalms are called Psalms of Ascent. They are the Psalms you are supposed to sing when you are ascending and going up the hill to Jerusalem. Okay? You're supposed to ascend as you're going up to Jerusalem. So you sing it. So it's just a short journey. It's like, ten minutes. So you just go up to Jerusalem. So a certain man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jericho is the last little town on the way to Jerusalem. You always go there. It's like in the desert. So it's one little town. That's where Zacchaeus was. That's where blind Bartimaeus was healed. So these are important places. All right? You have to be there. And you are going there soon. In Jesus' name. Now, and he fell amongst thieves. And you will understand when you go on that journey. Because it's a bit lonely and windy. It's like going to Abri. Something like that. You know? A bit like that. Not exactly, but something like that. So he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Father, any form of attack,
Professor,
armed robbery,
yes,
armed attack, anything that hurts, terrorism, we block it. Amen. We cut it off. Amen. It cannot happen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it cannot happen. Now, this man fell amongst thieves, all right? And anyone here who is a thief, remember, you are cursed. Your days are numbered. Stop stealing from today. Now, they left him half dead. How dead was he? Half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, all right, he passed by on the other side. Wow. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. You can understand, because if you go to attend to this man, maybe the thieves are still waiting for the next person. So it's easy to criticize these guys. But if you are on that road alone in the night, you may easily pass by, even though you are Christian. So don't be too critical. Say yes, please.
Yes.
Then a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. Now, who are Samaritans? Samaritans were half castes. Half and half. Yes. All right. As he journeyed. So he was like not really accepted. Rejects. Okay. Passed by on the other side. And a certain man, Samaritan, as he journeyed, saw him and had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. You know, in those days, they didn't have antiseptic cream and all the things we have. So oil and wine, it was doing magic. And set him on his own beast. That is, put him in his own car. And brought him to an inn. And took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host. And said, please take care of him. Whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So he gave some advance payment and said, in case the expenses on this gentleman go beyond these 2 pence, when I come back, I will pay. But I can't tell how much you are going to spend and how long he's going to stay in this hospital. All right? Now, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. All right? So there are many, this is Jesus' story, and there's many, many lessons to learn from it. Number one, your life is like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho. All right? And it starts in Jerusalem, ends in Jericho. So that is everybody's life is a journey. It starts when you are born and it ends when you die. Okay? So, very important to know that your life is a journey which starts when you are born and it's just a journey. You are just passing through this life and you are going to continue living somewhere else. So this life is a test. It's a journey. So I'm on my journey. I celebrated, I've celebrated 50 years at least in this journey. I've been around for 50 years plus. So I don't know how many years of your journey you've been in the system. Now, the journey starts when you are born and ends when you die. Okay? So the starting time is well known, but the ending time, you get it? You don't know. And that's why we always check, how long did this race take? 1 minute, 2 seconds. No one really knows how long when you start a race, how long it's going to take. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 12. Beautiful. For man also knoweth not his time. You see, no matter who you are and how you try to know the time, no one really knows the time. And the time is very mysterious. So man also knoweth not his time. And as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of man snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon him. He wasn't expecting, but that was when he went. So, you know, you would think some people would live long and some people would live short. And we all have our opinions of those who should live long. Isn't it? There are some people we feel, well, why shouldn't this one live longer? And we have in our minds that some old people, some wicked people should be dying by now. But they are getting stronger, taking more vitamins. Hey! And they don't seem to be getting weaker. So, this is something that no matter who you are, you can never know the end. Even I'm sure, what's his name? Usain Bolt. Doesn't know how fast he's going to be the next time he runs. He doesn't know. He finds out afterwards. So you find out after you die how long your journey was. Yeah. You find out how long your journey was. So you must be ready at any time. Because no one knows when. And you must accept this reality that you don't really know. Yeah. And because you don't know, Amos 4:12, prepare to meet your God. No one knows when. All right? Amos 4:12, that's what I do to thee, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, or because I can take your life at any time, prepare to meet thy God. So prepare always to meet God. You know, I was at the vice president's funeral this week. How many saw me there? Those of you, yeah, who like pictures. But you know, when the vice president, our current vice president, was giving his speech, he made a comment, and he said that the vice president who died was actually doing what should make you live longer. And it was what he was doing to make you live longer. You know? He was in the midst of doing that when he died. You get it? And there are those who don't exercise at all. How many here don't exercise at all? Like you, they actually exercise there. I mean, I know some people who don't exercise at all, and they grow fatter every day, fairer and fatter. And they are so fat that when they stop a taxi, the taxi will not take two of them. It only accepts one person because of the weight. He accepts only one. Yes. If two of them come, the car goes down, it cannot take. And they are growing longer. They are living. All my stories are true. Yes. So your journey begins and your journey ends. This year, we had some young people swimming. Yes, some of our children, they were here every Sunday. And, center leaders. And they went to be with the Lord. God knows about it. Yes. And John the Baptist was 30, about 30. Jesus was about 33. Go. Finish. It's not how long you live. You say, Methuselah, we don't know what he did. He was 960 years old. We don't know what he did. Do you know what Methuselah did? He lived, but that's all that he did. He just lived. So it's about what you can accomplish. When you come to our beautiful little CRIWM, is what we call it, the Center for Historical Research and Global Missions, you'll find that you see many of the people who were young men, very young, and they died young. Andreas Rees, he established Christianity, the mission in Ghana. Young man, you see him. You can take a picture with him if you can enter the place. You have to pay to enter, you know that. It's not free. Is it amazing? So, prepare to meet your God. We are on a journey. And God can even make you'll be surprised. You see, I can live to be 106. Yes. Where some of you may have been died and buried long time. It's true. God only knows. You see, some people, I watched a film recently. People in their 90s were doing 100 meters. 1,500 meters. 90, 100 years old. Yes. Did I show it to you the other? I showed it to you on the screen. Yeah, 100 years old. 95. Like some of you, even in your 30s, you can't do 200 meters. So nobody knows how long anyone is going to live. So you must be in a state of constant readiness. Yes, because it's a journey that can end abruptly. It can end gradually. It can end any day. If you are experienced, you will know that. Yeah. You know, one day I was in a church with an older pastor. And he was asking me, and he was telling me about some people dying and all that. And he told me, I said, oh, we've not seen all this in our church. He said, it's because of your age. But as the church grows, you will see a lot of this. God forbid. I declare you full of vitamins and life. But what are you going to do on this journey? That's a good question. Point number two. Like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem, to Jericho, you will experience many problems on the way. So this man had encountered robbers in injustice, wickedness. Is that not so? Yes. Genesis 47 verse 9. Now, in Genesis 47 verse 9, this was Jacob's introduction to Pharaoh. And the point number two is that there are many things you will encounter. Even now, as a young person, how many young people have already encountered things which are making you mature? Hey! Now, in Genesis 47 verse 9, look at it. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, this was when he met Pharaoh. He had just one meeting with Pharaoh. When Joseph, his son, brought him. Jacob said to Pharaoh, you know, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. You see, pilgrimage is a journey. Are 130 years. I've been alive for 130 years. My pilgrimage. So I am on a pilgrimage. You are on a pilgrimage. We are all on a journey. And no one knows the time the journey will end. But look at what he said about his journey. He said, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life been. This is how life is. If you meet somebody who is very frank and honest about what is in life, he will tell you what Jacob told Pharaoh. He said, few and evil. You see many things, many negative things. That's why the Bible says, remember your creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, before the nastier days come. And things change. And you say, I have no pleasure. I'm not so happy anymore. That's when you should remember your God. Back to Genesis. He said, few and evil have the days of my years of my life been. And I've not yet attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers. Because Abraham was 175 years old. He was 130. Life was getting shorter for him. He had experienced his children fighting. His children were some of the meanest children a man could give birth to. Very wicked boys. I think they were all boys. I don't know whether when they are all boys, they are some way. Are they some way when they are all boys? They were fighting. I mean, hated Joseph because he loved his son Joseph. All kinds of things. Fighting. One of his sons went for one of his wives. You know, in those days, polygamy was allowed. So there was one wife who was not so favored. She was in the corner somewhere, one of the houses. And then he went for her and he said that you are lonely. No one is minding you. Daddy is not minding you. So I have to care for you. Hey. So, many evil things. And I want to tell you, without God, I don't know how you are going to make it in this life. Job 14, verse 1. Read it, beautiful. 1, 2, 3. Man that is born of a woman is of few days. Soon, many of you will be saying, I'm 50 years old, I can't believe it. You will say, Daddy said he was 50, we couldn't believe, we thought it looked far. And I'm even younger than some of you here. Yes, I behave younger. Some of you are suffering from premature aging. The attitude is getting older than the body. Try to always have young people as friends. If you start moving with people who are suffering from premature aging, you always look bitter and unhappy. It's true. Move with young people. Billy Graham said the greatest surprise of his life was the brevity of life. That's what he said. And he said he realized that moving with young people make you young. Yeah. So man that is born of a woman is a few days. And full of trouble. I mean, you may think this is a pessimistic person, but it's the truth. There are many, many things. People look happy, but there are troubles behind the scenes. Yeah. So that is the journey of life. And This is the life we are in. So I can't see how people can make it without God. If you ask me, how do people make it in this life without God? I don't even know. Number three, you will need the help of God along this journey of life. John 14, 15, verse 5. You will need the help of God in this journey. So just as this man fell into difficulty, fell among thieves, somebody had to come and help him. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can't make it. You can't make it without God. You need God. You will need him. Yeah, you need God. I cannot imagine what people will do when they don't have God. I will lift up mine eyes, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes and sing to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help.
Mm.
My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved.
He that keepeth thee.
The Lord that keepeth thee.
God who keeps you and looks after you.
He will not slumber nor sleep.
He will not sleep.
For the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand.
Wow.
Upon thy right hand, no, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul.
He shall preserve thy soul
even forevermore.
Stumble
nor sleep, for the Lord is
my help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Sit down. Now, one day I watched a short film by Billy Graham. And I was struck when he met Winston Churchill. How many have heard of Winston Churchill? Do you know who he is? It's not a drink. It's a person who existed. He was the Prime Minister of England. Huh? He was the one who fought against Hitler. He was the Prime Minister of England. He won the war. He was a great person. Now, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, met him privately. And this is what happened. This is what he said. He said, Winston Churchill asked him. He told him, I am an old man. And I have no hope for this world. Do you have any hope? He asked him, do you have any? I don't have any hope for this world. And Billy Graham said, I have hope. Jesus. Yes. Jesus is our help and Jesus is our hope. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. God knows that we need help. Amen. So what did God do? He sent a good Samaritan. Look at this verse. It's so beautiful. So when we were yet without strength. Okay. We were yet without strength. In due season, Christ died for the ungodly. Is it not beautiful? Yes. And the next verse. Beautiful. Scarcely will a righteous man, one will die. Peradventure, for a good person, some would even dare to die. Amen. Carry on, please. But God commended his love toward us, in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So notice verse 6. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. So the person who has been sent to help you and me is Jesus Christ. When we are without strength, lying there by the roadside, beaten up by the armed robbers of life, who rob our joy, our peace, our happiness. So many things take away our happiness in this life. So many things. You don't have to live long to start feeling sad. Have you just seen why babies start crying from the moment they come out? The first thing they do is to start crying. It's, like, nah! It's too much to be here. I want to go back into my mother's womb. Hey! Broken hearts. Disappointments, shame, criticism, wickedness, pain, sorrow. But you know, perhaps the wildest thing is to stand. You know, each time we have a funeral, I stand. I always have hope. I speak, you know, usually by the time we finish speaking, there's some encouragement. Exactly. And funerals. Yeah. There's some better feeling and we are sort of encouraged. We have faith. But I tell you, you don't know what it's like to attend the funeral of someone who doesn't believe in God. That is the real hopelessness. Because there's nothing to believe in. It's like you are dead. You are dead like a dog. There's nothing. I mean, when I'm dead like a dog. When Princess Diana died, I was at Novotel Hotel. We were watching it on TV. The funeral. Saturday, I was meeting someone there. And I turned to the man sitting by me from, I don't know which country he was from. I said, do you believe in God? He said, you know, I've been thinking today, you know, whether our life is just a piece, we are just a piece of meat. That's what he told me. He said, are we just a piece of meat that's lived and gone in one moment? And I said to him, no, we are not. So God, there is hope in God. So it's a great thing that you found. That's why Peter calls it a like and precious faith. To not know God and not have God, I tell you, you don't know this world. I welcome you to the world. I I once stood at a funeral where they say they don't believe in God. There was a guy standing there who said, he said he didn't believe in God at all. He said, when I grow up and I have a child, I'll call my child Lucifer. Because there is nothing like God. He said, there is no God. So Lucifer, all this is their figments of the imagination. I was talking to one guy. He said, I'm a scientist. I don't believe in God. And I was, for some years, I always thought he was maybe a nuclear scientist or a rocket scientist or something. So one day I asked him, by the way, what type of science? You always say you are a scientist. He said, computer science. And he had intimidated me for years with the computer science. Those of us who studied anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, pathology, physiology, psychiatry, internal medicine, general surgery, we don't call ourselves scientists. You do 2 years computer science, you say you are a scientist. Your math. Say, God, I'm going to hold you close. Hallelujah. Now, like the man on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho, your help may not come in the way you think it will come. The Levite is not the one bringing the help. The pastor was not the one bringing the help. But another person was bringing the help. So Jesus may not be the kind of savior you are expecting. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, you see where Naaman the Syrian was sick. Naaman the Syrian was sick. And they advised him to see the prophet. All right? And when he came to see the prophet, verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses to see and stood at the door of the house of Elisha to see the prophet for healing. Hey! Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. Elisha didn't come out of his house. You see, and Naaman the Syrian came. Look, go back to the verse before. Naaman the Syrian came with his horses and chariots. That is, the enemy, you know, came with the horses like somebody coming with a convoy of cars. So he came and parked in front of the prophet's house. Like a real important person has come. And with a motorcade. Pene, 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 pew, pew, pew. And Elijah sent a message, go and have a bath. Go and bath in the Jordan River 7 times. And your flesh shall come to thee again. Now, you may not understand. The Jordan River is not what you may think. It's a very muddy, small river. It's like from here to here. And it's very muddy and cloudy. In fact, when we go to Israel, some people want to be baptized in that river. But I will not baptize you because I don't need to go into that river. You can get somebody else to baptize you, but I'm not going to that river. I've been baptized already. And we can do baptism here before we go. Hey! Bishop Prince, I hear you go into the river to baptize people. So when they told him, go and bath in this river 7 times. What? Then verse 11. Naaman was angry. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand on the leprosy. Bah! Don't you know that it's a communicable disease? Why do you want me to lay hands on you? And strike his hand and recover the leper. You see, everybody has in his mind how the help should come. You all have in your mind how God should go about what he's going to go. You have in your mind the color of the preacher, what color he should be. The color of the person who writes the book. The accent that he should have. The country that he should come from. The way he should do it. We are all like that. And you don't know that, but you have it in your mind. That this is the only way. Because he said, go and wash. That's all. I said, no, he should come out and strike. So don't be fixated on the way you think God should move. Yes. So you, because I may not lay hands on you, but God will touch you. Yes. You may not have personal counseling, but you hear it in the preaching. You may not have marriage counseling one-to-one, but you sit there and you can hear God speaking to you and telling you exactly what to do. So don't always think that it has to be in this way. If you think it will be in that way, you will miss God many times, many times, many times. Yeah. It could be a song. I've heard people who got saved through Ida singing. I've heard people who decided to join the church when they heard her singing. Yes. We were once in Jamaica. She was singing and people started collapsing. She was singing "Hi James." And the people were bored with James. And I mean, I think they had their own local Jameses there. Hey! verse 12. Then he said, "Are not Abana and Fapa, rivers of Damascus, better?" And I'm sure they are better. Because the Jordan River, honestly, you need to have faith to go into that river. "Better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went away in a rage. You see, because the person who is coming to save you is not a Levite. He's not a priest. He's not the type. He's not wearing a collar. You know, I don't like these collars. Yeah, I only wear when I really have to wear. Oh, yes. There are times I go to, I told my wife, you know, let me wear what I'm wearing. I beg you. I can't wear this. I feel sticky in all these things. But you see, there are some people you can't relate with a man who unless he's in a collar. He has to wear a gown. He has to wear a collar, though he's not a man of God. What is a man of God? By their fruits, you shall know them. You shall know them by their fruits. It's not by their dressing. You don't know people by dressing. Yeah. Yes. Because I have to check with my wife what I'm wearing, whether it's okay. When you marry, you'll be checking with your wife too. Receive the check-in in Jesus' name. Kaba shakabayabala. Yeah. So he turned away in a rage. And then his servants came near and spoke to him. Oh, thank God for good servants. And they said, "My father," he wasn't their father, but said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it?" Huh? Would you not have done it? How much more rather when he says, "Just wash"? Why don't you just wash? If you are a servant or you work for somebody, always pray for the spirit of wisdom to speak wisely. Verse 14. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times, like a distinguished bath. He dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again. So from today, expect God to help you, but the person who may speak to you, you'll be surprised. Remember, yes, last week's testimony, the guy said he went to the church. He was the only member in the church. He didn't know that he was the first person to join that church. He was the congregation. There was only one person, 2 people leading praise and worship, 1 person on the keyboard, and 1 person. And there were 4 people in the church. And he was the only person sitting down. But he got saved. And he came back the next week with 35 more people. So don't be fixated about how God has to move. God can move in different ways. And he's moving in the name of Jesus. Amen. Point number 6. Now, this is the help. He says, now the man who was going down to Jericho, the Bible says that he came in and he poured in the oil and the wine. Now, what is the wine and what is the oil? The wine is the blood of Jesus. These are the 2 things you need, and the oil is the Holy Spirit. Yes. So these 2 things are the 2 big things you need in this life. What are the 2 things? He says, and the man came, and what did he look at it? And he poured him, underline, he poured in the oil and the wine. Pouring in oil and wine. He bound up his wounds and poured in the oil and the wine. So the wounds you have in this life, Okay, the heads are going to be bound up by God. Amen. And then two liquids are very important for your life. One is the wine, which represents the red wine, represents the blood of Jesus. Jesus took the blood and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of the sins of many." He took the wine and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of the sins." So the wine represents the blood. Now, that's the first thing you need. The blood of Jesus. What can wash away your sins? Look at you. What can wash away your sins? How many have done bad things that you don't want to be written about? You don't want to watch videos about? Hey. Even those of you wearing glasses, you've done bad things before. Especially those wearing glasses. They look very righteous, I tell you. How many have noticed that those wearing glasses, they look like they are even above those of us who are normal? Hey! It's like they are looking through something, inspecting us. The number one thing you need to wash your sins away, the blood of Jesus. One day I went to a prison and it was a condemned cell. Everybody there was a murderer. So a man met me and he was holding a Bible. "Can I get a real Bible? Does anybody have a real Bible? You all have iPads. Receive more iPads in Jesus' name. I want like a real Bible." No, his Bible was bigger than this one. "I want a real Bible." Ah, it was something like this. Yeah, I think like this. And he was sweating because they were praying in the prison. And he was speaking in tongues. Hey! And he said, "Welcome." So I thought he was the associate rector or associate chaplain of the prison. Or the vicar. But he was one of the prisoners. So he said, "Please come this way." So he led me through the prison. And I came to a place. And there were benches arranged. And he said, "You sit here and I will introduce you to preach." So he came, took the mic. Hey! And his sweat was more than my out of the preacher, but I wasn't sweating. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, no, gentlemen, let us welcome." I don't know whether I said gentlemen or prisoners. "Let us welcome pastor to preach to us." So I went, I took the Bible, I preached. When I finished, I fell in love with the guy because of his singing prayer. So we were going and I asked him, "So what did you do that you came here?" He said, "Murder." Murder. Now, everybody here is here for murder. There's only one thing that has brought us here. This is the condemned cells. Everybody here is condemned to die. Damnation. So I said, "Who did you murder?" And he told me who he murdered. I don't want to say who he murdered. Yes. But he was so anointed, so powerful, so holy in the Bible. And I felt in my heart, I am going to help this young man, because he was young, to come out of the prison. So I decided to help him. So as I was going out of the prison, I saw the soldiers and the police. And my mind gradually started to change. The number of soldiers and police. And then the door, they have a door, special door that is low. You can't walk through the prison door. I think it's to prevent people from running. So it's low like this. So you have to go down like that to come out. Yeah. So I saw the door. And I realized that I cannot release this guy. So I said, "Bye-bye. You have to pray about it." Now, this man who I left in the prison, what problem does he have? Do you think he's praying for a wife? Is he praying for credit for his phone? What is he praying for? He's praying for what? Only one thing. And what is the one big problem he has? The one big problem he has is that he actually did what they said he did. Yeah. He actually did it. You see, and that's the big problem that all of us have. We actually did. You did it. Tell somebody, I did it. It's true. I did it. Hey. So that is your biggest problem. That you have actually done things that are not right. Yes. So, to how many realize that it's a very big power that can actually make this man come out of this prison? Yes. And that power is called the blood of Jesus. You see, the Bible says, whatever sin you have committed, the blood of Jesus has the power to wipe it out. And you stand there and say, you didn't do it. Nobody can say you did it again. Because the blood of Jesus is shed for the remission, Matthew 26, of all sins. That's why it's the most powerful. This is what the devil hates to, because it's the devil who pushed us. Eh? How many know that the devil is the one pushing you to do some things? When you are going to watch certain things. When you're going to do certain things, do you know who was pushing you? There was a lot of stress and pressure. How many have felt stress and pressure to do bad things? Hey, these people are angels. I think they are mostly angels at this side. They are minimally bad in that corner. Hey. So the blood is very important for you. Is the biggest thing. That's why you see, I'll never become, by the grace of God, a politician to preach politics. Oh, no, no. Or to just be preaching secular things, you know, improve economics, this, that. Oh, no, no. These are not, we are not here about economics. I'm here about the blood of Jesus Christ wash us from our mistakes and our sins. We are not here for economics or politics. No, 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 no. You don't understand Christianity. Christianity is God sent his son to pour the blood into our life and wash us from our mistakes. It's only when you don't think there is a real prison, that's when you don't know the importance of the blood. You think that, oh, you're going to get away scot-free. You think you escape. Some of you were not alive in 1979 when President Rawlings came. Yeah, he arrested top people in the nation. Top! Minister of this, minister of the president of this, president, three heads of state carried them to. Some of them were weak, they were shaking as they were going to the place. On television, it's an open TV. They were executed. Can you imagine heads of state? They were shaking like this as they were taken. I know somebody they brought them out of Burma Camp Chapel and they couldn't walk as they were taking them to Teshi. And I look and say, a 29-year-old boy can carry people and say, you, head of state, come, minister of road, minister of the, come here, to Teshi, line up. So if a 30-year-old, 29-year-old boy can call you and you and say, you, come here, to the stake. Do you think Almighty God cannot call, say, you? Did you do this or not? When you say you didn't do it, you see, heaven court is not this technicalities court, oh, where you are going to be giving technicalities. Court case adjourned till next year. Case adjourned, this and that. There's nothing like that in heaven. You just be arguing. If a man can take people and say, you, I consider you as wrong for this country, therefore this. I mean, I can't imagine human power can do something like this. How much more God himself? That's the point I'm making. So yeah, I know that God can summon everybody and we can be arguing in court for years. There are so many cases that have never been resolved. You see, when our walls were broken, some years ago we had a church and our walls were broken. Okay, they set up a government committee to look into it. And they came up with a white paper. And the case has never moved. There are a lot of things that are not right. Injustice is done. Break this, break things down, do all sorts of things. You think it's all just going like that? No, you see, there is a God. There is a God who can say and will say, hey, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not going to just go away. You just, you're like, hey, God, man, Charlie, take some 5 pounds. Look, Charlie. God, you cannot give him some money and say, take $10, Lord. I want to go to heaven. You are in power, so you are just something small for the boys. There are no small boys in heaven. Peter doesn't need any assistance to open the gate or close the gate. You can't say you are in power. Wow. Are you enjoying the film stars? You want more film stars? Hollywood. This is Hollywood. First love, Hollywood. Look, your sins are written clearly. You have no defense. There are people who like arguing. Everything, they have an argument. Have you met some such strong-willed people before? Can argue through every point. There is no change in their mind. But when you stand before God, you will be naked. So what we need is the blood of Jesus. And that's why, you know, the blood of Jesus is what the devil fears. I know some wizards and witches, when they got saved, they came to church to testify. They said, what we don't like at all is when they sing about the blood of Jesus. That's the worst part. When they start, there is power, power, wonder working power in the of the Lamb, in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, this one they don't like. It's the blood. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, you'll be exempted from being judged for all your sins. When I see the blood, you'll be accepted, you'll be forgiven. When I see the blood. So this man came and poured in the wine. Then he poured in the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. You shall be anointed with fresh oil. The Holy Ghost has been sent to help us. So in our life, we receive the blood and the oil, the blood, the Holy Spirit of God. So the Good Samaritan is Jesus, and he's coming to you with the Holy Spirit. In Romans 16, he says, God has sent us a helper. Helper. I'm standing here by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I look at the missionaries, I pray you get a chance to go into the Kremlin one day. You see, beautiful. You see young people like you standing there. They died for God. They did great things and saved. Ghana wouldn't be called a Christian nation today if it wasn't for those guys. They look as if they didn't even have much, but God was using them. And the whole nation is affected by these guys and the works that they did. You know, so the Holy Spirit has come to help you. Whatever you can't do as a Christian, through the Holy Spirit, you are going to be able to do it from now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And finally, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, someone, only someone who loves you will stop to save you. Amen. So you must accept the love of Jesus. Amen. Today, God is saying that I love you. How many are happy that he loves you? How many find it difficult to believe that he loves you? Don't spoil his love, or just accept that he loves you. Yes. I mean, why would someone stop on the way? Huh? Before people get married, you see, they'll be walking along the road. Then he's with his beloved. Then when she trips on a stone, say, ah, sorry. Ah, where's the stone? And they'll go and take the stone. Huh? You made my beloved trip. Damn you. And then they'll throw the stone away. In the name of Jesus. They say, honey, let's go. And they'll be working with their beloved. This is what we call belovedosis. But sometimes after some years when they are married. And they are walking. And the same beloved will trip on a stone. Ah! Oh! I said, ah, can't you see where you are going? I mean, no, you have to keep your eyes open when you are walking. Hurry up and let's go. Hurry up and let's go. Your love will never die. It will never fade. God loves you with a big love. Hallelujah. And I know that as you enjoy his great love for you, you must respond to his love. When he's loving you, all you have to say is say yes. There are some girls who don't know how to respond to love. When somebody proposes, you say, I love you, baby. I want to marry you. And then they'll be sitting there and say, I'm going to pray about it. Shame on you. I wish he had proposed to somebody else. Useless person. Useless girl. I wish you wasted the proposal on this girl. When they tell you I love you, you have to stand and say, yeah! I'm excited. Instead of saying, oh, I'm surprised. I wasn't expecting it. You were expecting it. And you are saying you were not expecting it. You were expecting it. Oh, Male, you see, I don't like it when you tell lies in church. You were expecting it. You were flexing, trying to show that you are not really moved by it, or like you're not really having that feeling and whatever. You should lift your hand. You see, when Ida is singing, it's the breakup of my relationship. That's how you have to do it. Because Charlie, love is coming your way. You have to smile. When they say nice thing to you, just say, I'm just enjoying it. Instead of saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, boo. It's a blessing. Thank you for... flow with love. And God is telling you that he loves you, he likes you. You must flow with his love and stop being resistant and respond to his love. You need to respond well to love. When love comes your way, don't play with it. It's not easy for somebody to like you. What do you have that somebody likes you? Who are you that somebody likes you? Tell the truth. What do you have? You don't have anything. It's a grace. So when they say they love you, put away your shame and say, yeah. I say, I like you too. I love you. Pa. Mom, it's not the same without you. Cry. Look at how they are sitting down. You see? You see now? Look at it. Look at that. Look at that. I'm preaching, you're sitting down, you're not even happy. I've come to preach to you personally. Brothers, watch them carefully. Watch them, watch them, watch them. Watch them. People who are not excited about things, they don't show any happiness. Oh, you're not easily impressed. How many want a girl who is easily impressed? Like when you do something, say, wow! Sit down, sit down, sit down. Look, first love marriages are the best type of marriages. That when you stand outside the first lover's house, you hear shouts of joy. You hear happy, you don't hear slaps. Pow, pow, and you hear somebody shouting, swine. No way. You hear shouts of joy and excitement. You hear scratching sounds, banging sounds. You wonder what is going on in this place. It's like there are shouts of joy and screams. The whole house is vibrating and moving with music and dancing and joy. Kasha Kabalaba. You see the cool sisters? Oh, you see the cool sisters over there? You see them? Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. They are relaxing. When I'm instead of being happy. Brothers, watch these girls very carefully. Please take your seats. Tell somebody, as for me, I'm going to respond to God's love. Say, I've seen that he likes me. I've seen that he loves me. So me, I'm flowing with it. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to serve him. Oh yes, I'm going to flow with him. Yeah. Me, as for me, I love God. I'll tell you, I love God. I love God more than anybody. Yes. You can ask anybody. You can ask anybody. Ask anybody whether I love you more than anybody. You realize I don't really love you the way I love God. You have not reached there at all. Yeah. One day, a certain man, he had Chinese eyes. Huh? Chinese eyes. You know how Chinese are? A little. They have some design in the eyes. And his other brothers and sisters didn't have Chinese eyes. No, it was in America. Yeah. So one day, he went to university when he grew up. And then he came home and told his father. He said, Daddy, I want to ask you something. Why is it that I have Chinese eyes and everybody else has American eyes? I want to know why. And you know what his father said? His father said, I've been waiting for you to ask me this question. Yes, I've been waiting for you to ask me this question. I was waiting for you to grow up and to ask me this question. He said, I will answer you why you have Chinese eyes in this family. Hey! Do you want to know why he had Chinese eyes? Yes. His father said, many years ago, my mother and I, we were missionaries in Korea during the war. And we were in the north. You know North Korea, the man who came to meet with President Trump. Yeah. There were the war that Jong-kun or Kim-kun, Kang-kang, Kim Chung-kam. Yes. Up there. Okay. So he said, we were traveling, your mother and I, the war was coming very strong from the north. So we were traveling to the south. And as we were going, there was shooting. Then as we were driving, I think it was a jeep, your mother told me, I can hear a baby crying. And he said, and I told your mother, no baby can be crying now when they are shooting us. But the mother insisted, I can hear somebody, a baby, a newborn baby crying. Hey. So she pressurized her husband, when they were shooting all around, to stop. He said, let's stop and see. So they stopped under a bridge and they came out of the car and they went, it was under a bridge in Korea. And there they saw something strange they have not seen before. A lady stark naked. When I say naked, I mean naked like a banana, totally naked. You are excited about a lot of things. Yeah? When your beloved proposes to you, be excited in the same way. With small, small comment, and you'll be excited. Listen, he said, we saw a lady completely naked. She had taken off her clothes, and she was also apparently running, and she gave birth to a baby. And when she gave birth to the baby, she took off all her clothes and wrapped the baby in her clothes and cuddled around the baby. And the baby was crying. And your mother and I saw. He said, we pulled out the baby. The lady was dead, frozen to death. It was winter. And she said, that baby is you. That is how come you have Chinese eyes in this family. Because your mother gave her life to save you. The young man, this is a true story, was shocked. He said, what? So do you mean that I am Korean? He said, yes, you are Korean. We were waiting for you to grow up so that you ask the question. Then we answer. The man started crying. He said, take me to the bridge. Take me to the place. He insisted. He said, take me. I want to go there. So the two of them took them to that place, which was now a part of South Korea. And they went to the bridge. When he got to the bridge, and they said, this is where your mother was found. The boy, you know what the boy did? He took off all his clothes and lay on the floor and started crying. He said, my mother, you gave your life for me. You gave your life to save me. You died in my place. You could have run and left me, but you died for me. You know, I want to ask you something. Do you think that as this lady gave her life for her child, it was because the police was chasing her, or because she was looking for money, or because of any other thing other than her great love that she had for the child that she had brought into this world? That if I cannot leave, you can live. And that is exactly what Jesus did for us. He gave himself. He gave himself to save us. While we were sinners, he came. Not because any police or soldier was chasing him, but because he loved us. So much love. I don't know why. That's why Andre Carr sings the song, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. I'm glad he did. This is the only reason why he gave his life, was for the love. Just like this lady gave for her baby. She was off to her precious baby. She wrapped the baby in her underwear and her clothes, everything she had, and laid and gave her life and died. She froze to death, but the baby was still alive. That's you. You are the baby that's still alive through the death of somebody. So my friends, Jesus has done so much for us, and that's why we are going to serve him. Yeah, as young people, we are going to serve God. Yeah, we are going to serve him as young. We are not going to wait till we are old and things are not working in our body. Then we'll say, I'm now a Christian. No, we are going to serve him before we are sick. We'll never be sick in Jesus' name. We are going to serve him whilst we have strength and you are nice and you are young and you are fresh and you are beautiful. Because he loves us. Love is when you are young that you receive love and you flow with love. And I want to see you flowing with the love of God. Let's flow. I love God. How many love God? He's everything. There is no love on this earth. Only love for God and with God. So the Good Samaritan is a great message of God's love for you. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And one day we'll see him face to face. He's real. Yeah. Everyone who dies finds out. The vice president who died is in heaven or hell. The presidents who died, they are all in heaven or hell. All of them. Everybody is somewhere. All dead people are still alive. They can't get reception where they are. All dead people are. They are all alive. All. Every single one. Princess Diana is very, very alive. You'll be shocked how alive she is. But it's how to call. How to get through. This is the main thing. So today, we are going to serve God and respond to his love. How many of you, if you are the one who was injured, when you get up with the oil and wine, will you look for the person who came to save you and say, oh, I want to find you and say thank you. And thank you. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks to you for saving my life? Good Samaritan. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm serving God. With all my life. Not when I'm funny. When you bent over. And I can't walk. No, with my strength, with my youthfulness, with every connection I have, I'm serving him. Yes, because he loved me first. We love him because he loved us. We love him with feelings, with a passion, because he loved us. He gave his life for us. It's nothing for us to give our lives to him. Thank God for his power and his love that has saved us. I don't work in the church for money. No. Maybe politics. But here, it's for the love of God. We love him because he loved us. Hallelujah. How many love Jesus? Stand to your feet. Beautiful. First John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. Maybe somebody invited you, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Today he's stretching out his hand. He's saying, I love you. Say yes to me. Say yes. Agree to me. Take me. Believe in me. Don't wait till you can't believe anymore. Don't wait till you are dead. Believe me now. I am the good Samaritan. I am the good shepherd. I gave my life for you. If you are here today, you want to take Jesus as your Savior. Raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just your right hand. God bless you. If you've lifted up your right hand, I want you to pray with you. I want to pray with you. You want Jesus to come into your life. You want to become a born again Christian right now. Your hand must be up. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands. If you've lifted your hands, come to me. Come. Come from where you are standing quickly. Come. Let me pray with you.
Come unto Jesus.
Serve God. I want to follow Jesus. Come on, my friend. Come to the front. Come all the way. I want to respond to the love of God. I want to respond to the love of Jesus. Come, my friend. Come to God. Give him your life. Wherever you are standing, I want Jesus. Come on, my friend. Let him have his way. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Everyone in front with your hands up, please. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I give my heart to you. Let's all join in, please. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner. I know I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Please wash away my sins. Say it out loud. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. Today, I open my heart and I accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Jesus is my good Samaritan. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. I believe in you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. I open my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now lift your hand like this and say after me, Satan. Say, Satan. Listen carefully. From today, I will not serve you again. I will not follow you again. I belong to Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. And I will serve Jesus. Now lift your two hands like this and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Give the books. I want to give you one of my new little books. It's called Key Facts for New Believers. What a blessing. Amen. All of you in front here are getting one free. Are you blessed to have a nice free book? Will you read it when you go home? It's a beautiful book. Key Facts for New Believers. The reason why people fail exams is they read big books. When you read small books, you pass exams. All right? So this is a small book I wrote for you, and you're going to be blessed. This hairstyle will change in Jesus' name. Amen. Your whole life will change. Did you see the testimony? Yeah, that's how your life will be. Your life is changing from today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. What is your name? Stephen. Stephen was an apostle. Eh? So you'll be an apostle too in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, look after these people. Bless their lives. Change them forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. When we close, as soon as we close, come to this corner here. Salvation corner. We are closing in 10 minutes. Salvation corner. Come there. And we are going to, all of you holding this book is your ticket to come to that side. Okay? God bless you. Clap for them as they go back to their seats. It's time for communion. You may be seated. Now, today you are going to receive healing. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible says that thy raiment wax not old upon thee, and neither did thy foot swell for 40 years. Look at verse 3 before. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Okay, so God gave you manna in the wilderness and bread which your fathers didn't know, so that you know that man does not live by bread alone, amen, but by every word that proceeds out. Now, when he gave you that bread, what happened? In verse 4, what happened? Your raiment waxed not old, neither did thy foot swell. Do you know that swelling feet, you know, as you get older, there are many things that can make your foot swell. Even just sitting down on a plane, your foot can swell. But when you are younger, there will be no swelling. Then liver disease. So when he says your foot didn't swell, it means you were never diagnosed with liver disease. Hypoalbuminemia, low protein, hypoproteinemia can lead to foot swelling, kidney failure or kidney disease, nephrotic syndrome. And any kidney disease can make your foot swell. Heart failure, right heart failure, congestive cardiac failure can cause your foot to swell. Your liver will swell. We feel your liver. You see that your liver is calmed down. Raise JVP. Jugular venous pressure. Doctors, am I saying the right things? There are doctors all over this place. Can give you swollen feet. Huh? Other conditions. What are other causes of swollen foot? What do you call it? Cellulitis. Cellulitis can give you swollen feet. One foot can be swollen. Deep vein thrombosis can lead to swollen feet, swollen foot. Lymphedema, elephantiasis. When you are bitten by Wuchereria bancrofti, that the filarial worm that enters your lymphatic system, Wuchereria bancrofti, bitten by the mosquito, all these can cause your foot to swell. your foot will not swell as you take this holy bread we are about to receive. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. None of these diseases, and that is that symptom, that alone, Deuteronomy, this was written 6,000 years ago. The Bible is a wild book. Just this statement is mentioning so many diseases. Your foot did not swell for 40 years. So Jesus said, take it. This is my body. He took the bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Today, every disease, hypertension, diabetes, swollen foot, disease, heart failure, kidney, liver, hypoproteinemia, imbalance of whatever chemicals in your blood are being healed as you take this Holy Communion. Lift up your stand and lift it up. Father, thank you as we receive the Holy Communion. Bless everyone here with mighty healings. Let life flow into everyone by your power. In the name of Jesus who died on the cross for us, receive the body of Jesus Christ, and the supernatural qualities of his body are imparted to you in this moment. The body of Jesus Christ. And now the blood. Have you seen that scripture which says the life is in the blood? As you take this, Father, we thank you. This blood contains now life. We declare this to be the blood of Jesus. Let life flow into everyone here today. By this communion, 10 years are added to your life in Jesus' name. You are going stronger from today, healed from today. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now receive the life of Jesus by the power of this Holy Communion in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hand and receive your blessing. May the life of God take over your natural life. If you are supposed to expire at the age of 65, today it has been made 75. If you are supposed to die at the age of 40, your life is extended by many years. Whatever causes a foot to swell cannot attach itself to you in Jesus' name. Receive power, the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the body of Jesus Christ into your life. Receive healing. You will not hear any type of bad news this week in Jesus' name. Any form of disappointment that has attached itself to you comes off your life today in Jesus' name. You are declared delivered from all works of darkness that fasten themselves to you. To your life, whatever blessing you came to receive in this church today, may it multiply in your life as the weeks go by. Whatever testimony you had, may you hear it again and may you have a good testimony. You are declared healed and delivered. Anything that makes people feel sorry for you, I cut it out of your life today in Jesus' name. You never have people say sorry, 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 sorry anymore in your life from now in Jesus' name. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. You are blessed in the name of the Lord. The life of God is part of your life from today. In the mighty name of Jesus the Savior. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. God bless you. You are blessed in Jesus' name.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word.
For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dagwood Mills, please visit our website at www.dagwoodmills.org. God richly bless you.